Happy Father's Day. Get those incandescents off, please. The first thing I want to do is just honor our dads. So if you're a dad, a father, I want you to stand up if you can and give yourself a hand. Yeah? Yeah. I don't think anybody appreciates us like we do. And good. I want you to remain standing just for a moment. I want to bless you. I just want to pray for you while we're standing up. Father, I ask you to bless our time today. I ask you to bless these men. I ask you, Lord God, that you will lead them and guide them to be the fathers that you've created them to be. Help them, Lord God, accomplish into the lives of their children and their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, all the things that are possible for them to create within them. I ask you to bless our time together today and pray. I pray we go out of here knowing something and understanding something that we didn't come in knowing as fathers and as men and women of God. I ask you to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You receive that? I got a better one at the end of the time. It's even better. But this is great. This is great. Well, welcome. Glad you're here to one of the least attended days of of church in the whole year. You know, we go camping and fishing and we do this. And that's okay. I understand it. I did that too, you know. But one day God will get you. One day God will get you. And it'll be more important to be here than to be there. All right. So years ago, I preached a lesson, and I called it the Irrevocable Blessing. And it was on the internet, and I didn't have it audioed, and it wasn't videoed. It was just on there in my note form, and I got a lot of response, not just from you guys, but a lot of response, emails being sent to me, and people, someone wanted to quote me and put it in a book, but the most amazing one was this one, the one I just played for you, that audio clip. He called and he left and he called a couple of times. I was actually on vacation when he called. And the thing that I want you to get out of that is he desired the blessing so desperately. He was willing to just get a man figure, to speak into his life. There's something created within us, every human being, man, woman, boy, girl, to get the affirmation of their daddy. There's something about Father that nobody else can do, nobody else can speak into. And I want to talk about this today. And what I want you to know, Dad, what you to know, Father, here's what I want you to know today, is there is power in your words, unlike the power of anybody else's words. There's power in your words to change your children's lives and to set their destinies like nobody else can. There's this thing about words. You know, we all have words. We all speak a lot of words. I study this a little bit. You know, a man on the average will speak about 7,000 words a day. Now, that's a lot of words. I didn't realize that. On the average, you know, and I probably overdid that some, but a woman now, a woman speaks about 20,000 words a day, which is about three times what a man speaks, and I think that's about right, you know. But my point is this, is not that they out-talk us, but Dad, when it comes to your children, she's saying three times more to them than what you're saying. And you need to make what you do say matter. You need to make what you say count, because there's something about your words that are irrevocable. Now, when I say irrevocable, what I mean is this, is that, have you ever, and we all have, but we've said something in a moment of anger or frustration or disappointment, a rage or whatever. We say something to people and often to our children that we wish we could get back. You know, why did I say that? And we apologize, but it doesn't ever really eliminate it. It doesn't undo it. You know, we try to do nice things to cover it over, you know, and to fix it, but never can quite get it back, can we? See, it's irrevocable. It's there. It's done. And you can't get it back. And there's something exponential, Dad, about your words. We sometimes think that as we get older and time passes, that the things that we've said get less and less important and get less and less powerful. But that's not it at all. When a dad says something, it gets bigger and bigger and more powerful and more powerful. And your children, and the people that you said these things to, it gets more and more alive in them. The things that we say live in the souls of our children. And there they're like in cement, in concrete. And there they stay. Unless something is done to break that up, unless something is done to cover that over, it's going to be there. So this is what we're going to be talking about today. So I want to read a scripture to us off the top here. I want to read from James. Now, James is the brother of Jesus, as most of you know. James is the brother of Jesus. I don't know if everybody knew that Jesus had a brother, but he had a bunch of them. He had several brothers and sisters. And this guy lived in the house with Jesus. So this is one of the most amazing things to me, being raised with Jesus. I mean, can you imagine that? You know, and this is one of the main reasons that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I mean, what would it take for you to believe that your brother was the Son of God? You know, maybe being raised from the dead. I don't know. You know, maybe that would do it. But this is why I believe that Jesus is the Christ of God. So I want to read some of the words that the brother of Jesus said. So this is interesting. James 3 and verse 9. He's talking about the mouth. He's talking about the tongue. He's talking about words. And here's what he says. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude or similarly to God. I want us to see a couple of things right there for a moment. I want us to see, first of all, that what are you made in the likeness of, guys? What are we made in? Similar to what? To whom? God. To God, right. So there's a power there, and this is the thing I want you to see. But also there should be a similarity as to how we talk to God and how we talk to one another, how we talk to people. And I want to bring that out in just a second. He says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. They both have power. My brothers, my friends, my associates, my people, these ought not to be. These things ought not be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet and bitter? Our words are sweet and our words are bitter. And there should be a similarity in how I talk to God and how I talk to people, and especially how I talk to my children. And in my BC days, before I came to Christ, I cursed people. And I cursed God. Now, I know nobody else ever did anything like that, but I did that. And the saddest thing is I not only, when I got AD, when I came to Jesus, when I came to Him, I found sweet words. And the words that I spoke sweet words to God, words of praise, words of worship. And I learned how to speak sweet words to people as well. But here's the sad part of all of that, is that not only did I curse people, but I cursed my children, not with profanities. That's not what the word even means. But with words and things I said to them. I also spoke sweet things to them. I blessed their lives. And even today, out of my mouth comes bitter and sweet. And if I'm not cautious, I'll put these things into the souls and the hearts of people. And the last thing I want to ever do is put that into the souls and the hearts of my children. So there's a power that we have, Dad, that is there. And I'm going to do just this quick little study on a Greek thing that we needed, because there's so much gold in this word blessed that I want you to see. So let's take just a quick Greek lesson here from the scriptures and look at this word bless, eulogia. And what it means is fine discourse. Now think about that. Fine discourse, like fine food. It's well prepared. It's fine-tuned. Fine discourse. Polished language, and I really want to hammer that one home. Polished language. How do you polish your language? How do you polish anything? You know, you put some work into it. You make it shine. You work with it until it's just right. So this polished language, polished, fine words. And then it's an invocation. Invocation means summoning. Invocation or summoning of blessings. Did you know that you could do that? We can invoke the blessings of God. We can summon forth the blessings of God. Benediction, that means blessings. Benefit, we know what that means. And then a concrete blessing. I really want to hammer that one home too. There's something about a blessing that is concrete, that goes into the souls of people and is etched there with what the words that we have said. And this is especially true into the souls and into the hearts and into the lives of our children. Now, Dad, two things. When was the last time you did that? You met a special occasion. I'm not talking about the last time you hoped your kids did well. You know, you hope they stayed out of trouble and you hope they did well and they made their own money so they wouldn't be using your money. But when's the last time you did that? You made a special time with your child so that you could bless them with this kind of a blessing. so that you could invoke the blessings of God with fine words, with polished words, words you had prepared, words you had made, so that the blessings of God would be invoked and a benediction would be put on their lives to benefit them, and it would be established in concrete so that in their futures, in their destinies, they would have these great things happening. When's the last time you did that? Have you ever done that? Well, that's what I want to talk about today. But here I want to hit it one more lick and push it just a little bit further. Did your dad do that for you? Did you ever get the blessing from your father? And that's all of us, not just us fathers. We all need this blessing. Now I want to flip it on the other side just a little bit and show you the negative side. I don't want to linger here long again with a Greek word and just looking at something because I just want you to see it. Now the word curse doesn't mean profanities, but what it does mean is the Greek word katharomai, and what it means is to curse, to doom, to imprecate, which means to wish harm or evil upon. Now, so sadly, so many men are living under the curse of their fathers rather than living in the blessings of their fathers. And they've gone through their whole lives battling the curse that their fathers stuck into their hearts and stuck into their souls, and it's there like concrete and you can't get it out. I want to work on that today. And until it's broken up and until it's covered over, it's going to be there. I want to talk about this because this is damaging to all of us. And we should be living under a blessing, but we're not. See, Dad, what we've got to do is we've got to learn this fine discourse. We've got to learn this polished language so not only can we bless our children, but so that our children can bless our grandchildren, and that their lives can have the summoning of God's blessings into them, and that they can have the benefits and the benediction and things established into their hearts, into their souls in concrete, so they have great lives. And then they can teach it to our great-grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren can have this destiny, this unbelievable benefits of God and the summoning of God into their lives. This is so important that we understand, Dad, the power. You have a power. You can polish like nobody else can. You've got the power to do it. God's given you diamonds as children. All they need is your polishing. And they'll shine. And nobody can do it like you, Dad. And every single person, man, woman, boy, girl, needs the blessing. And the scriptures talk about the blessing. And this is when a dad would make a special moment, a special time with his children. One apiece, at each individual time, not at all at once, but have an individual moment with them. And there he would, with fine words, with polished language, he would invoke, he would call forth and summon the blessings of God for their lives. He would be a benediction for them, a blessing for them, and it would be a benefit in their lives, and it would establish something in concrete for their lives in the future. This is the blessing. And they understood it. They understood the power of it. They understood the necessity of it. And they went after it. They'd go ask for it. Even Jacob deceived his own dad to get it. We're going to talk about that. But this is how important this thing is. And we've got to get it around, our heads wrapped around it, not for our own blessings, but also how we can change things and get our children blessed as well. So the first story I want to talk about two. It's the same family, but two different generations. And I want you to see this. And the first person I want to talk about is Joseph. You remember Joseph, right? Joseph was the son of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Joseph was the 11th one. He was his dad's favorite. His dad, Jacob, gave him a coat of many colors. You remember that. And his brothers were jealous, threw him in a pit, and then eventually sold him into slavery into Egypt. And, of course, we know how that worked out. He became second Pharaoh. He became ruler of the whole country. You know? And that's what God does to every believer, everybody who follows Jesus Christ. He'll make what the enemy meant for evil, and he'll make it for good. He'll make all things work together for good for those who love God and for those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. We all know that. And if you're a Christ follower, you've experienced that. You've seen something that was very devastating in your life turn out really, really well. You see, and this is what was happening to Joseph. Joseph went from the pit to the palace and because of God's of his love for God and God in his life. But now, in this moment in the story, he's ruler. He's ruler. Now Jacob has moved his whole clan into Egypt, into Goshen. He's moved them there. And his name has changed. God changed his name. And I'll give you a short summary of that. See, his name is Jacob. Jacob means trickster and supplanter. It means grabber. It means deceiver. That's what Jacob. But God wanted to take Jacob, like he wants to take us all. And he wanted to do something amazing with Jacob. He wanted to make a whole nation out of Jacob. He said, I can't do it with a grabber and a supplanter and a, you know, a trickster and a deceiver. I got to change this guy. I got to change his name. So he gave him the name of Israel, which means contender with God. He said, I can use him. And so this was Jacob now. Jacob now has become Israel, and he's living in Goshen in Egypt, and he's old. And they have this deficiency in their genealogical lines where he's about blind. He can't see well. And he's living there now. And so Joseph hears that his father's old and ill. And he's got two boys, Joseph does, Ephraim and Manasseh. And he says, I want to take my boys to my dad because I want my dad to bless them. And I want to show you how this rolled out. So he brings them into the presence of Jacob. Jacob can't see well. And we'll pick up the reading right there in Genesis 48 and verse 9. Moses writing this says, he says, who are these boys? Who are these boys? And so Joseph says, they are the sons God has given me. All right, let me work there just a second. Who gave him these children? God. Who gave you your children? God gave you your children. Now I know sometimes you don't know for sure about that. You're thinking this was a mistake or this can't be of God. I want you to know, Dad, God gave you those children so you can polish them, so that you can do something for those children that nobody else can do. God's got it in you to say to them what they need to hear and to have the blessing in their lives that nobody else can give them but you. God gives you that. He says, these are the children, the sons that God has given me. So Israel, Jacob says, well, bring them here. Bring them to me. So I can what? I can bless them. I can bless them. I want to bless them. What an honor and what a privilege, you know, this is. It's a supernatural big deal. I mean, when you get to do this, it's a big deal. And to them, it was a huge, huge deal. It's supernatural. I want to explain this to you. Supernatural things happen. When he had these two boys, Manasseh and Ephraim. Now, Ephraim was the youngest and Manasseh was the oldest. And so he wanted the right hand of his dad, the really blessing hand, to go on Manasseh the oldest. So he put Manasseh on Joseph's left side so that when they approached Jacob, that he would be on Jacob's right side. And he put Ephraim on his right side so that the left hand. So when he got there, when he brought the boys in front of his dad to be blessed, his dad supernaturally crossed his hands. And Joseph tried to correct that. Joseph said, let's fix that. That's not right. And it was a supernatural thing. It was a prophetic thing. And Jacob, Israel, said, no. This is how it's going to be. This is going to be the blessing. And he put his hands on them and supernaturally spoke into the lives of those boys. It's a supernatural thing, Dad, when you get to do this. When you get to do this for your children or you get to do this for your grandchildren, something supernatural is taking place. Let me read you just a little bit of what he said to these boys. Verse 16. This is Jacob talking to these boys. He says, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. Supernatural protection. This is a supernatural event that comes out of your mouth, Dad. Can't come out of anybody else's mouth. It's got to come out of your mouth. And this, I will show you three things that are right here in three sentences or conjunctions of sentences. But I want you to see there's three aspects of blessings here. The first thing is supernatural protection over your children. Second thing, may they be called by my name and by the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. Abraham was Jacob's grandfather and Isaac was his father. And now he's passing this on to Joseph and now on to Ephraim and Manasseh. It's a generational thing that's happening here. God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. I want my grandchildren, my lineage to serve the God I served. I want them to worship and be a part of the plan of the God that I served. That comes out of your mouth, Dad. That comes out of your soul into their souls. The third thing that he says, and may they increase, how? Greatly. I just don't want them to be good. I don't want them to do well. I want them to do greatly. I want them to greatly increase. Greatly increase upon the earth. Prosperity. So you get to speak protection. You get to speak generational godliness into their lives. And you get to speak prosperity into their lives with your words. That's how powerful you are. You're a powerful guy. I want you to know it. Now, he said, I want them to have more than I've ever had. I want them to do better than I've ever done. I want them to go more further in the world than I've ever gone. I want them to do greatly. Wow, that comes out of you, Dad. That's an amazing event, amazing thing that comes out of you. Well, I've had the honor and the privilege at each of our children's births, to be each of our grandchildren's birth, to be there. And I would go in, and as soon as I had an opportunity, I'd get those boys, all four of them boys, I'd get them in my arms, or the parents would say, let's pray, and we would get around the children, and we would bless them right there. And I would speak a blessing into their lives right then. I would begin right there to put something in concrete into their destinies, into their future. I would have fine words that I'd already planned and I wanted to say over them. I would have polished words. I would summon the blessings of God into their lives and into their destinies. Now, I didn't know this when I had our children, when our children were born. I didn't know this. I was a heathen. I was cursing God then. But as soon as I learned it, I changed it. And I began to polish words, and I began to fine-tune words, and I began to summon God into their lives. And I began to speak some benedictions and some benefits into their lives and put some stuff into concrete into their souls as I polished their souls. Now I get to watch those children live concrete lives, solid lives, blessed lives. This is the power, Dad, that you have. This is what you're capable of doing. You're capable of blessing your children like no one else can. You can do it. Maybe a little uncomfortable sometimes to do it, but I'm telling you, you'll never regret, ever regret doing it. And when you see it start happening, you say, wow, look at that. So I want to look at another story as well. And that now, Jacob understood the power of the blessing because he got the blessing. He got Isaac to bless him, his dad. Now, he did it deceitfully. And this there's a big point here that I really want to make as we see this. But he got his dad. His dad's name's Isaac. He said, I want the blessing too. Now, let me lay this out for you just a little bit. Jacob was a twin, and Esau, his brother, was born first. And as he came out, Jacob kind of grabbed at him, and that's how he kind of got his name, deceiver. And all of his life, he did this. He deceived Esau, and he deceived people. He was a trickster, a supplanter, and he was a deceiver. And that's what he did all of his life. Well, one day, Isaac is old, and he's blind. He's worse than Jacob was, and he can't see anything. But he knows he's getting old, and he knows he doesn't have much time left. So Isaac summons Esau, his son, his oldest son, which is his favorite, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second, so that he can bless him. So let me read it to you in this story in chapter 27 of Genesis. It says there in verse 4, it says, prepare me, Isaac is now talking to Esau. He says, prepare me the kind of tasty food that I like. Now, this would be venison. This would be what he wanted because Esau was a hunter. He said, get me some tasty food like I like and bring it to me to eat. Now, I want to make a point here in just a second, but I want to make another point first. So that I may give you my blessing before I die. Dads, do this before you die. But I want to push it further. If your dad's never blessed you, it's that important. You go, whatever you got to do, get your dad to bless you before he dies. It's a big deal. And I'm hoping I'm going to be able to communicate the importance of it. And some of you would bow up and say, I don't want him blessing me. I don't want anything. No, you do. It's not, you're not doing it for him. And well, he'll get good from it too. But this is for you, for your irrevocable blessing. So that you can accomplish all that God has for you. Because it's got to come out of daddy. It's got to come out of the father. It's got to be his work. And then they say something. They say, I want you to go hunting. I want you to get me some venison. And I want to have a moment with you. I want it to be a special time with just me and you, boy. Just me and you. Let's have a special time together. Let's make a moment together. And I want to end this time with you. I want to bless you. Make it special. So, Esau took off. Went to the woods, go hunting. And Isaac had a wife, and her name was Rebecca. And Rebecca overheard him telling Esau that he wanted a blessing. Well, Rebecca's favorite was Jacob. Isaac's favorite was Esau. and so Rebecca didn't want Esau to get the blessing. She wanted Jacob to get the blessing. So she came up with this deceptive plan to deceive her husband. So that her favorite would get the blessing. Now, I want to make a point here while I'm at it. See, people say they want a biblical life. Listen, you really don't want a biblical life. When you look at the lives in the Bible, some of you already have that. You don't need that. I mean, you look at that. I mean, right in this family here, there's this deceit between the husband and the wife trying to deceive the husband, the sons trying to deceive their dads. I mean, you don't want that. Right? Think about David, the most dysfunctional family in the whole Bible, the man after God's own heart. But he had the most dysfunctional family. He had 7 or 8 wives. That's not what you want. He had concubines, and he was dysfunctional. What about Solomon? You don't want a marriage like Solomon. You know, 700 marriages and 300 concubines. Well, you don't want your children to have that, do you? That's not what you want them to live in. You don't want a biblical marriage. You want a Christian marriage. You want a marriage that's built on the principles and the doctrines of Jesus Christ and the teachings that we find from that. Then you'll have something. Then you'll have something, right? Okay. So back to the story. So Rebecca's got this plan. She says, okay, Jacob, here's the deal. I want you to go and kill 2 goats. I want you to bring those goats back, and we're going to deceive your dad into thinking that that's venison. So Jacob's pondering this, and he says, Mom, I don't know, man. I'm going to read you what he said. I don't know about this. Verse 12. Jacob says to his mother, what if my father touches me? Now, let me explain this to you quickly. See, Esau was a hairy guy. He had a lot of hair, and evidently coarse hair. Jacob was a smooth person. And he knew that if his dad put his hands on him, and he knew he would for the blessing, that he would realize, you're tricking me. You're deceiving me. Watch what he says. But if my father touches me, I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing. Wow. They understood the power of the father's words. The father's words has the power to bless or to curse. Whether you like it or not, you are living the blessings of your father or the cursings of your father. Every one of us. It becomes so important that we understand this, the power we have with our words, fathers. You and you alone can polish your children like no one else, can invoke the blessings of God into their lives like no one else. You can summon God's blessings. You can make a benediction of it. You can bless their lives and put in concrete the blessings of God for their destinies. Wow. All right. So he said, okay, we'll do it. So he goes and he gets the goats and he kills the goats, and he and his mom cook up this deception. And I guess she got some super glue and took the hair and stuck it on his head, hands and his neck, and put on Esau's clothes so he'd smell like Esau. And he took the meal into his dad. Dad said, who are you? And he says, I'm Esau, your firstborn. I'm going to read it to you in just a second. He had a little time convincing his dad. He said, well, you smell and you feel like Esau, but you sound like Jacob. But eventually he got into cross. I'm going to go ahead and read this to you now. Verse 19. Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. He's lying. He's not Esau. He's Jacob. And he says, please sit up and eat some of my game. That's not game. That's a goat. Eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. Even though he knew if he was discovered that it would bring a curse on his life, he still wanted it that desperately. He was willing to take the chance. He wanted it that desperately. And it even gets better than that. Now, sometimes I want us to understand that it's uncomfortable to get in a situation with your children where you want to bless their lives. But I'm telling you, you will never forget it, and you will never regret it. And it's something they desire more to get than you desire to give. They need the affirmation of you, Dad. They need the words that you've got. They polish them. They set in motion the aspects of their life for great success. So he finally convinces him. He gets the blessing. I'm going to read a little bit of the blessing that he gave to him, thinking that he's giving it to Esau. but really giving it to Jacob. Verse 29. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's riches. That's good, but then it says this, an abundance of grain and new wine. Now, we probably wouldn't want to bless our children with that specific blessing. We'd want to redirect them a little bit according to that wine. But let me explain that to you just a second. So what we're really talking about is that was commerce. You traded and you bartered with your grain and with the wine, with the produce. You used it to purchase and to sell. You used it. And so he would say, what we would probably say is, may you prosper, may you have wealth, and may you have great success. That's probably what we would say along those lines. But here's what I really want to hammer in and work on this. He says, may nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Now that sounds lofty, doesn't it? Sounds a little lofty. Take it down. That sounds lofty. I'm thinking, how can we relate to that? Well, when we bless our children, we should set something lofty out there for them. They should have a real goal, something way out there. So when you bless your children, when you bless your grandchildren, make it big. Make it out there. Make them do something that you haven't done. Speak something that you haven't experienced. Put that out there for your children. That was the second one. And then the third one, it says, may those who curse you be cursed and those who bless you be blessed. I don't want to talk about the curse. I don't want to get into that. But I do want to amplify the blessing part here. I want people to know that when they get around my daughter and they get around my son, I want them to know they are around a blessing. I want them to know it is good to be around you guys, that my life is blessed. My life is better because I'm around you. And I don't want my kids hanging out with kids that aren't blessed. I want them to be with people who are blessed. So I want them blessed. And if they got to be around my kid to get blessed, then that's okay with me. And it's okay with them. But we want our children blessed. And that's all coming out of you, Daddy. This coming out of your soul and out of your heart into their soul and into their heart. And it becomes concrete. It becomes their destiny. This is what happens. See, this is what happens in this blessing thing that's going on here. And I really want to make this point. See, whether we like it or not, this is what Daddy does. Because Isaac thought he was doing this to Esau. He thought this blessing was Esau he was blessing, not Jacob. He thought he was blessing his other son. And I'm making a big, big point here. Because once it's said, once it's out there, once it's done, it can't be undone. Watch this. Watch this. Esau comes back home. He's got his deer, his venison, whatever. Skin it, clean it, whatever they do. He brings it in. He says, here I am, Dad. Who are you? I'm Esau, your oldest son. And then who was it that I just blessed? Isaac asked. Who did I just bless? So the deceitfulness of Jacob was uncovered. Now, it got bad. Esau began yelling and screaming and weeping and crying. And I'm going to read it to you here in just a second. But Isaac shook uncontrollably. He was so upset. Read it to you in Genesis 27:33. Isaac began to tremble uncontrollably and said, I blessed him. With an irrevocable blessing. What kind of a blessing? Irrevocable. What does that mean? I can't revoke it. I can't undo it. I want to undo it. I wished I could undo it. But I can't. I blessed him before you came back. He's blessed. Other translations, I said it, it's going to happen. I blessed him, he's blessed. Did he want to revoke it? But could he? No, because the words were gone. And when they're out there, you can't get them back. He was sad. And Jacob would be blessed. And Jacob was blessed. What I want you to hear, and the point I want us to get, this is why you need to get your dad's blessing. This is why you need it so desperately. It's because it can't. Even if he wants to take it back, he can't take it back. When it's blessed, it's blessed. When you understand the principles here, it's going to be so powerful in our lives and in the lives of our children, in the lives of our grandchildren, in the lives of our great-grandchildren. This is why we need to learn this language of fine-tuning the words we speak. Yeah, we need to polish our speech and our language up so that we can invoke the blessings of God and we can summon forth the blessings of God into the lives of our children and our grandchildren. We need to learn how to do this. We need to bring this forth for their benediction and for a benefit into their lives and set in concrete God's blessings for their lives. Dad, only you can do it. You are the blessing. I've had the honor and the privilege to dedicate our grandsons to God. When it came Max's time to be dedicated, Bonnie came to me and said, "Dad, I heard this and I like this scripture. So would you mind reading this over Max?" I said, "Well, what is it?" So she told me, and I looked it up, and I said, "Whoa, yeah." I said, "I'll not only read it over Max, I'll read it over every child I get the opportunity to bless. It is that good." And here's why it's so good is because it tells us that God Himself wants powerful words spoken over all of His children. He wants words like this invoked. He wants words like this put in concrete for every single one of us. And in this passage that I read over every dedication that I do now, since Max, did it Max, and since then, I still do. There's such a powerful thing. And let me read it to you so you'll see what I'm talking about. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, the preachers, this is how you are to bless. This is how you are to bless my people. This is how you are to bless my people. Here's how you do it. Say to them." Do what to them? Say to them. Listen, it's not a blessing until it's said. You can hope it, you can wish it, you can pray it. But, excuse me, until you say it, where did that come from? Didn't that snuck up? Until you say it, it's not a blessing. The Lord, he says, say this, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord give you a long life. The Lord protect you. The Lord make his face, his favor, to shine upon you. And be gracious." Grace, the word grace, graciousness, means the impartation of gifts and talents and understanding. "Be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face toward you, smile on you, and give you peace." Whoa! How wonderful! That's coming out of you. That's coming out of me as we bless the people of God. And then he says this, "So they will put my name on my people," on the Israelites, on the children of God. This is how you put God's name. This is how you put God's name on people. And then he says this, "And I will," what? Put it up. "I will," what? "Bless them." This is how his blessings work. And it's so important to God that we do this. So important that we speak these words. And Father, you got it. You got the power. You got it. So what I want to do as I finish up today, I want to bless you, all of you. Some of you, men and women, some of you have had some negative things spoken over you and into your life by not just your father, maybe mother, people that you respected and people that were able to get into your soul. And they spoke some negative things, and I want to break that. I want to speak God's blessing over you. I want to put God's name on you. Would you receive a blessing from me? Would you let God use me to bless you right now? Would you do that? If you will receive that, would you bow your heads and just let me make some declarations over you? I declare, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are blessed with God's wisdom and you have clear direction for your life. I declare, you are blessed with creativity, with courage, with ability, and with abundance. I declare, you are blessed with a strong will, with self-control, and with self-discipline. I declare, you are blessed with a great family, with good friends, with good health, and with faith and favor and fulfillment. I declare, you are blessed with success, with supernatural strength, with promotion, and with divine protection. I declare, you are blessed with an obedient heart and with a positive outlook on life. I declare any curse ever spoken over you, any negative or evil word coming against you, now broken in the name and by the blood of Jesus Christ. I declare you are blessed in the city. You are blessed in the country. You are blessed when you go in and you are blessed when you come out. I declare everything you put your hands to will prosper and succeed. I declare that you are blessed. And if you receive that, would you shout and say, thank you, Jesus, and give him a hand clap? Yeah. Woo! I receive that. To me too. Amen. All right. Two last things. Challenge. I told you what I want you to know. I want you to know how powerful you are, Dad, with your words, not with your arms, but with your words. We know how powerful you are. That's what I want you to know. But what I want you to do, I want to give you a challenge, is I want you to bless your children. I want you to fine-tune your words, polish those words. Use those words to summon the blessings of God for your children. Give them as a benediction to them. Give it as a benefit to them and set it into concrete in their lives. I want you to do that. And if you've already done it, do it again. Why not? It won't hurt anything, right? And with a little more understanding, it can even be better than the first time. I got some plans I want to do with my children and my grandchildren. Do it again. The second thing is, if your dad's still alive, get his blessing. I know it's uncomfortable. You say, my dad don't know how to do that. Well, give him this. Give him your note. Dad, read this over me. You write it. You tell him, you read it over me. I want your blessing. I think it'll do a couple of things. I think it'll heal some relationships that you've got. But also, it'll be so much for you because you're going to have an irrevocable blessing with polished words. Let me pray for you.